Welcome to The Wild Within, a podcast exploring spirituality, consciousness, holistic psychology, and wellness, and expanding your mind, body, and soul to embody and activate your truest self. I'm your host, Kristen Yates, and I'm so excited to be with you on this journey of awakening in our outer and inner worlds. Connected to our true nature within, together we heal and thrive in these times. So now, let's dive into the show. So today's topic is such an important one, on a topic that I'm personally so passionate about and that's so important for us to integrate and really connect with, especially in the times that we're in right now. And I feel like I've been saying that all year in 2020. But today, particularly, we're diving into the power of embodiment, sensuality, feminine spirituality, really coming back to our home within, our intuition, and our deeper, deeper sense of knowing in our body, and the empowered ability to heal that we all possess within us. So today's guest is Nadia Munla, and she is a women's embodiment and intimacy coach who guides women to sensual nourishment and embodied power by helping them reconnect to their bodies. Nadia is passionate about supporting women in their journey back to their embodied essence so they can feel vibrant, alive, feminine, and free again. So Nadia is the creator of the Embody Dance Class and Embody Teacher Training, and she's guided thousands of women across 5 continents on their journey back to themselves. And so I'm really excited for you to hear this episode because we really unpack a lot of her wisdom around her own embodiment journey, understanding what embodiment is, why it's so important, and how to come back to our inner temple and our inner power in a world that's pulling us out to live from our head, right? So we're living in this society, especially, like I said, in these days where there's so much uncertainty, there can be so much fear, so much panic. And in this episode, you're really going to learn a lot of tangible tools to recalibrate your nervous system, to come back into your body, to transmute suffering into healing, to reparent your inner child, to learn how to set embodied co-creative visions for your life, and how to really get yourself into a place of love-based motivation, moving forward, moving with power, and really embracing the feminine form of spirituality, which is quite different from the more traditional masculine form of spirituality. And if you haven't heard of these different types of spirituality, well, you're going to learn in this episode all of these different things. So I'm really, really excited for you to hear this episode. And I think that without further ado, we are going to dive right in. So I'm here with Nadia. So excited to have you on the podcast today, girl. We have gone back many, many years, and you are the embodiment queen in my book. So I'm really excited for you to share your wisdom about this practice with our people because the world needs it so much right now.
Oh, it's so good to be here. I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah. Well, so Nadia, I know you're an embodiment coach for women and creator of the embodiment dance class, the embodiment certification, all these other beautiful, beautiful embodiment pieces to help women to get back into their bodies and awaken themselves. And I've just, first of all, well, I don't know, maybe first we can just kind of share how we met each other. We met each other in Bali. No, we met each other first in Chiang Mai. And then,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Remember?
Chiang Mai. That's yeah. True.
Yeah. I remember those first days, like riding around in Song Tao's and kind of exploring. Yeah. And then we went to Bali and had the whole retreat experience. So I feel like our whole connection was in these beautiful embodied lands of Southeast Asia. It's very feminine and very, those are good days, many years ago.
Yeah, it's true. That was, there was so much beautiful feminine energy coming out of the land, and it was very nourishing for me as someone who was sort of shifting gears from a very masculine hustle, go, 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 like very particular paradigm of functioning and working in the Western world, to actually slowing down and going like, oh, wait a second, what is it like to drop into pleasure, to drop into sensuality? And I think the land there really supported that.
Yeah, it's amazing. So that's, I really feel like we met when you were in that transition, really stepping from that masculine way of being into your life's work, into the embodiment work. And that was really amazing to see. So yeah, I'd love to hear just a little bit more about what got you into this work and a bit of that transition, you know, how you became an embodiment coach and how this all unfolded for you.
Well, it was definitely not strategized. It was not in the 5-year, 10-year, 15-year plan, right? Initially, I had grown up and went to school and did my master's degree to work towards film producing, which is what I was doing for a while. So I had my own production company, was film producing, and at the same time was also production managing at an advertising agency. So sort of back and forth between doing my own things. So I started entrepreneurship a little bit, but just in this completely different world, and then started to just transition slowly into a completely different way of being, doing, and really offering in the world. And that was because, as some people may or may not know, the film industry is pretty grueling. So we used to have crazy, especially when you're an independent producer, which is what I was, just really, really crazy hours of work. You eat pretty crap food. There's just like not much that's supportive of your body and your health and your mindset as well. And so it was just, it's a very typical story of, at least in this piece where I just put it, my body was like burnt out, and I started to just have so many health issues, and it just became clear at some point that it was time to shift gears into, and in particular at the time, it was because I was really interested in building a family and being a mother. And so I thought, oh, okay, well, how the hell am I going to be a mother when I'm working 18-hour days and sleeping for four, and what's interesting is fast forward to 10 years later, and I'm not a mother, but I'm so grateful that that impetus, and no, nor do I particularly desire to be a mother anymore, although who knows, life will bring what life brings. But it's interesting because that seed was actually what nurtured a different type of service and mothering that I am bringing to the world, and that is my baby, which is Embody.
Yeah, totally.
And so it felt really important to shift gears, which I did when I decided, okay, I'm going to get certified as a holistic health coach, first and foremost, to take care of my own body and to figure out what was going on there. But then also because it felt like such an important thing to pass on to other people around me. And as happens often in coaching, after a few years of being in the holistic health coaching world, I started to notice that my clients were more and more interested in the piece around dropping into their bodies and, intuitive eating. What do they need to do to drop into their sensuality and their femininity more? Because really what I started to notice was the problem wasn't like, as so much access to, healthy eating or not knowing how to eat. It was literally that we have grown up in an era where the mind is so revered and the body wisdom is sort of pushed aside. And so for me, the fire in my belly that started to burn, that started with health coaching and then became, embodiment and intimacy coaching now, is really that I started to notice there is essentially this like epidemic around the world of, especially in the Western world, I should say, not the entire world, where we are disconnecting from our body wisdom, and that is part of the formula. It's a really key piece, and it's like our animal body. It's like our primal body. It's this part of us that we have sort of, suppressed and put into a box and strategized and come up with all sorts of like, it's this and it's that, and it's like, no, the body isn't. That's why there's so much rewilding going on, right, in the
Yes.
world. It's like, oh, what's rewilding? It's us coming back to our animal bodies, because you look out into nature and animals are, so much of their survival and their thriving too happens because they're connecting to things in their body and signals in their body that if they weren't, they'd just be instantly eaten or dead or, whatever, attacked. And here we are not really paying attention because somehow I think we've developed so far as humans that we, which is beautiful on the one hand, but the shadow side of that is that, oh, now we somehow think we're better than nature, and we think that we, have evolved so much in our minds that the body no longer is as relevant.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that topic. It's so true. That's always felt like
a huge part of my journey as well, is like getting out of the head into the body. And we live in such a mind-based culture, so mind-based, and we don't have tools for getting into the body. And a lot of people probably go their whole lives never really connecting to this wild intuition, animal, natural state, right? So yeah. So I'm curious, you know, what is embodiment? What are the pieces of embodiment that you teach? How can people get into their bodies a little bit more? I know it's probably a big question, but what really is embodiment? And then like, you know, yeah, we never learned these types of things in school. So if there were a class on embodiment, like what sort of things would that teach people?
Well, it's so interesting that you say that, because we've been working and we're launching like an embody class for teens, because we see how much it isn't in the educational system, right? Now they've gotten better with some meditation and like some yoga here and there, right? And these are pieces that are so important, because embodiment essentially is the process of actually experiencing the world through your body. Right? Like, and what does that mean? That means dropping into your senses, literally your five senses. So when people come to me, they're like, ooh, I want, you know, sensuality, and I want to feel more, you know, connected to my feminine sensual side. I'm like, yeah, literally that means dropping into your five senses. So the first thing that I have people do, that you can do anywhere, anytime, and there's no way that you'll forget it, is taking inventory of your five senses. So literally you could be folding laundry, doing the dishes, having sex, doing nothing, like dancing, whatever you want to be doing, whether it's mundane or magical, you can turn it magical by dropping into your five senses, by, you know, what taste is in your mouth at the moment? You know, is there a memory of a taste or desire for a future taste? What sounds are you hearing in this moment, even as you are just standing here? You know, what is it, the sound of your breath, the sound of a breeze, the sound of some music playing in your AirPods, like, you know, what, and then you just keep going down, you know, we know the five senses, or we try to, sometimes I forget one of them. I'm like, wait, what did I cover? Right. But so you can do this anywhere. I have a sensual meditation where I guide people through it, but the truth is you don't need me. Like, you just go through your five senses and you can take and linger as long as you want in each one of them, or you can go, you know, a little bit faster if you have 30 seconds and that's all you got, you know, because we're in the 21st century and shit goes fast. Right. But that's really the most fundamental way to drop into your body and become a little bit more embodied. And, you know, I just released a video recently that was like how embodiment isn't always about moving. And I think this is a key piece that people get confused about as we're continuing to define embodiment. It's like, embodiment isn't going to the gym. Embodiment isn't just dancing. Like, you can dance, right? You can dance and move and do all the things and be very physically active in your body, but not be present in the experience of being physically active in your body. You can also be doing nothing, and yet you can be incredibly embodied because you are actively experiencing your body in that moment.
Right.
And so I think that's where people sometimes, early on, like, you know, when I get my clients at the beginning and their intake forms and on our first calls, they're like, well, I go to the gym three times a week and I do this and da da. And I'm like, that's beautiful. Great. Good for you on getting stronger. And you can go to the gym embodied. You can go to the gym completely disconnected and do your entire it's not a practice at that point. It's just your gym workout, right? But you can do your gym workout as a gym workout where you're going through like the grocery list and like what needs to happen today and what, or let me obsess about the conversation I had last week where I didn't like step into my boundaries or like, you know, whatever it is. Or you can really be in the experience of what does it feel like right now as I'm doing a bicep curl? Like, where is my temperature rising in my body? What am I, you know, how do I feel like the sweat that's starting to like, you know, build up somewhere on my skin, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that's really what embodiment is about. And the reason it's important, like why do all of this, right? Like why should be in our bodies? Like who cares? Well, first of all, It to me, I find that your divinity is in your senses, is in your body, especially for feminine energy, which we all have, right? We all, so it's nothing to do with gender. just going to use the word feminine, masculine, but some people will use, I have some teachers I love, Justin Patrick Pierce and London Angel Winters. They refer to this as alpha omega. And I really like that terminology because it takes away the baggage or the connection we naturally have to like having it be gendered. But I still, I've just been trained in masculine and feminine. So I refer to that, but I always make sure people get that it's not connected to gender. But so going back to it, feminine energy and people who tend to have primarily feminine energy coursing through their body. So they're like a little bit more on the feminine side. What happens is they actually connect. There's a way to connect to spirituality and divinity that's going inward into the senses, into the body. It's there. And there's something about feminine energy that goes in. It's like when you think about earthiness, right? It goes in. Yes. But then, you know, we've been so used to the more up and out version of spirituality, like let me sit in seated meditation and let me transcend my body, my physicality, to connect with divinity, spirituality, source, spirit, whatever you want to call it, right? Something that is outside of my 3D reality. And the truth is both are important. They're just different muscles to work.
Yep.
Right. But we've overworked in a way the up and out. And so I'm like, okay, all right, everyone, let's work on the going in.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. That is resonating so much. I'm sitting here, I'm like, ah, it's because like I recently had a very embodied experience of that working with plant medicine. I recently had a mushroom ceremony that actually the woman, the shaman, she channels the same spirit that comes through ayahuasca, but through mushrooms. And long story short, it was such a deep feminine presence and feminine awakening. And I felt this spiritual awakening, but through the earth. It was like unlike anything I'd ever experienced. And after the experience, I remember saying like, I know this was an awakening, but it was nothing about out there. It was in, it's here, it's on earth, it's the feminine. And it's exactly what you just said. And obviously we can reach those states without the help of plant medicine, just by going into our bodies, because we are that energy. We contain both the masculine and the feminine energy, but like we can really, it sounds like, consciously tap into that and have those spiritual awakenings, realizing that spirituality is here. Like spirituality is grounded. It's not necessarily just something out there.
Yeah. Well, ultimately it's both, right? I just think, you know, the same way that in our human life and in the human day-to-day, like things that we're here to do, there is both the doing and the feeling, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not one or the other. Like you can't, and there, you need the mind. Like no one's saying the mind is bad. No one's saying we shouldn't strategize. Yeah. Like it's probably good to have a 5-year plan. Just keep it, you know, hold it loosely.
Yeah.
The problem is we just go like, and we're just going to keep going all the way to the end. And if it doesn't go the way that we had it on the spreadsheet, you know, we start to freak out.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the balance. And integration is where things are at. You know, I always refer to it as embodied union. It's like bringing together both the structure and the energy within the structure, right? The masculine and the feminine, the going and doing, and also the being and feeling and receiving and emoting.
Mm-hmm. And obviously it can be really hard because our society is all about the doing. It's all about the masculine. It's all about like, this is what success looks like, right? So I mean, I imagine you have a lot of clients that come in and they just feel out of alignment in their life and in the world because there's no space for them to explore and express that more feminine, flowing, almost formless energy. So I guess my question is like, how can people step more into that in a society that's so created for us to be this masculine way?
Well, the interesting thing is that we, you know, I mean, it's been a brutal year for people, right? 2020, woo.
Oh,
and the silver lining in all of this, or what we're being asked to look at partly, I mean, there's many things we're being asked to look at, but one of the things we're being asked to look at, or that we were sort of forced into, was slowing down and simplifying. If you look across the board, everyone's experience is slowing down and simplifying, from the big corporations to your own lifestyle. A lot of people who are, there's sort of mass exodus, you know, from cities into more like suburban and, you know, rural areas. people are like, let me grow my own veggies. Like there's more and more of that happening in the mainstream, not just in our little bubbles of, you know, of our peeps. And, yeah. and that is, I don't think that's coincidence. Yeah. I think that is part of the rebalancing. And sometimes in our own individual lives, if we think about it, like we sometimes have to go through a crisis to realize, oh shit, I need to rebalance. Right. We, someone, something, we have a health crisis. We have an emotional crisis. We have the ending of a marriage. We have, you know, these types of things that launch us into reevaluating. And so we're doing that, but we're doing that as like a whole human species right now, mm-hmm. you know? So here's this totally out of the blue, except not really, right? Like virus that appears that irrespective of what your thoughts are on it, like, it is asking us to change the way that we have been doing life because we were autopiloting. And a lot of that autopilot was in the mind and it was in the rush and it was in the urgency. And so now it's like, yeah. guess what? That's not how it's going to go anymore. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like I don't even remember what your original question is, but it doesn't even matter because yeah. like, you know, ultimately this is what is it's happening already. And the question yeah. is like, are you seeing it? Are you feeling it? Are you able to go with the flow of the energy, which is asking us to change? And it's just asking us to rebalance so that we come back as a species back into a space of collective health.
Yes.
So right now we are in dis-ease.
We are
in dis-ease.
As a planet, as a society. And it is really amazing to step back and see that as a collective. We're being forced, you know, not quite so gently. We're being, you know, pushed into that rebalancing. And I think if we're able to surrender into it and let those gifts come through, then there's really the ability to rise through this time and to slow down and to let old things go. And then those that are resisting it, they're probably feeling the pain and the suffering, like those mm-hmm. that are clinging on to the old way of being. So it's really amazing to see that alpha, omega, masculine, feminine energy so present in the world right now. And that's why these tools are so important, and knowing how to work with it and how to get in the body and how to trust ourselves first and foremost, right? Because there is still so much chaos and so much misinformation and so much that's pulling us out of our inner knowing. People just not knowing what to believe.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, right? So the pattern that I'm seeing when I just look out at the world, which nowadays is through social media / the occasional walk you take, it's what's happening is I just see everyone's nervous system, right, going into fight or flight. And the way that this appears for people is either in a hyper or hypo state. So what that means is like, for some, when they experience fear, right, our animal bodies, our reptilian brain goes into hyperdrive. So that just means like, I'm going to fight even more. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be like, I'm going to strategize and think and come up with all sorts of theories as to why this is happening. And then I'm going to come up with a plan and I'm going to, you know, and then there's the hypo, which is sort of like, I'm a depression. I don't have feelings, or I just feel like I'm sitting on the couch and I'm just going to like resign. Mm-hmm. And just be like, whatever, I don't care, right? I don't know, it's all going to crap, like whatever,
yeah,
right? And neither of those are healthy ways, or regulated ways, should I say, of doing things. Doesn't mean they're wrong, because people don't know that that's what's happening to them, mm-hmm. right? So everyone who's on Facebook fighting about this theory and that theory and all that nonsense, it's like, that is all that, when I see that, I just see scared people. I see people who are unable to be with the uncertainty of our times, people who have disconnected from God. And the way that we disconnect, and when I say God, I just mean like source, spirit, anything outside mm-hmm. of you. You know, when we disconnect from that, which is understandable, it's happening because the reptilian brain is like, we're not regulated. Our nervous system's not regulated. So we're in that state of like, must survive. Ding, 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 right? Red flag, must survive. What do I do? Do I fight? Do I run? Do I play dead? What do I do, right? And those are the daily choices that we are unconsciously being asked to make, when really embodiment and coming back to slowing down your breath, slowing down to feel the five senses, right? Like taking your time to really notice, okay, what is the experience in my body right now? That is what actually will get you back to a place of regulation. And from that place of regulation, you can then connect to something bigger, to your intuition, to God, to whatever you want to call it, and then go, all right, what am I supposed to be doing next? What's the game plan? What's the next step, right? What feels right for me in this moment? And the reason that, you know, all of this is happening is because what we don't realize in mindset work often, and what's not really taught to us in a lot of coaching realms, although now it's getting a little bit better with more trauma-informed programs and things like that, is that actually the reptilian brain does not speak language, like in words, in concepts. So when we will our way into something, I'm going to be positive today. Tomorrow's going to be a different day. I'm going to mantra myself into da, da, da. Nope, it's not going to happen. Because if you are activated in your reptilian brain in that fight or flight mode, the only thing that actually speaks the language of that part of the brain, which existed before we created language, is breath, is movement, is tears. It's these primal, we have to go pre-lingo, right? We got to go back to the basics. And breath is the fundamental building block of our bodies, of life, of nature. And so when you go back to that, and it literally, some people want these complicated formulas, like, oh, how do I get through these difficult, chaotic times? Simplify. Yeah. Inhale.
Breathe.
Exhale.
Right.
Inhale. Exhale. And then do it again and again and again and again until something else appears, right? Mm. That's the way to do it. But unfortunately, we've gotten so, we have so, such a bias towards complicated things that when we are told it's just about breathing and moving and crying, and crying is just a way to alchemize the energy, right? So if you've got contraction in your body, tears tend to just release that. And that's why we always have that feeling after crying, like, oh, okay, yeah, I feel good.
Best
right?
feeling ever.
Always is so good, right?
Love it.
And that's because you've alchemized that. And we all have the ability to do so, but so often we just hold and try to strategize. And it's not getting us anywhere because those people fighting on Facebook, I'll come back in 2-3 months. They're still fighting on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Nothing has shifted. They're probably right. just a little bit more sick in their bodies because that contraction for 3 months is going to cause some serious health issues.
Yeah.
You know,
it's such a good point. Yeah. I love that distinction of the hyper and the hypo. Like a lot of people that are in emotional turmoil where they're either out, distracting themselves constantly. You know, it could be fighting on Facebook. It could also just be taking in a lot of news. You know, the people that have the news on constantly these days, I'm just like, that is shooting your nervous system. You know, you're constantly in a state of fight or flight. Even if you don't end up aggressively projecting that out, it's probably bringing all of this turmoil inside. And then maybe it flows into the depressive state or the just clenched up, unable to do anything. So I think those emotional tools are so key. And you actually covered it. That was one of my questions, is just how to deal with, you know, chaotic emotions through embodiment. And I think that's it. I mean, it's breath, it's coming in. And it sounds like it's also bringing the mind onto the breath, right? Like a lot of what you're talking about with embodiment, it does include the mind because it's including the attention and the awareness. And that's the difference between just moving and being disembodied and being embodied, whether you're moving or not, right? It's bringing that attention, the mindfulness into your present experience and just being with what's there, right? That's how we transmute it, is just being, accepting whatever emotions are there, letting them alchemize, right?
Yeah. And it's felt, it's the felt sensed experience.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's the felt sense experience. And there's that piece. So just like being with what is. What's so magical about being with what is that if it's something nice, fantastic, you've just upgraded washing right. the dishes to like, ooh, warm soap. I remember one of my clients being sure. like, I love washing the dishes, not me. But she's like, I just love the way the soap feels and the warm water. And so she really takes in those sensations. And then There is, if things don't feel good, which is why people generally don't want to drop into their bodies, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to open up Pandora's box and there's going to be like 100 things that I've been avoiding since my childhood that I don't want to feel. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. True. Like if you haven't gone to a teeth cleaning in like 10 years, it's going to suck, right? But if you've been going pretty continuously, it gets a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Still not fun, but it gets a little bit better because you're doing maintenance, right? And mm-hmm. so it's the same thing with embodiment in that if you drop in and you feel your feelings and you're feeling them every day and alchemizing them every day, there's going to be less old gunk that feels heavy and is deep in your cells that needs to come out. So at the beginning, it's always scary for people, which is why it's really good to have an embodiment coach, because mm-hmm. you've got someone there who's guiding you through the process, right? But the good news is that whether you're doing this with a coach or on your own, when you drop into the felt sense experience of your pain, it alchemizes so quickly. Mm-hmm. The suffering exists when we are avoiding feeling the pain. It's not the actual feeling of the pain. Mm-hmm. What we create, the suffering, and I'm going to say this again, but it's so important to understand this distinction. The suffering that we create is when we avoid the feeling that we need to feel, which is often pain, because we don't usually avoid joy. Although sometimes we do avoid joy, but that's a different conversation, right? But it's, but here it's often like, oh, I'm scared to feel the feelings that I've been suppressing for the last 5, 10, 50, whatever plus years. Mm-hmm. And the moment, and this is, I think, one of the top lessons that I learned when I started to dive more into tantric work or just deeper embodiment work, is like, it just takes a few minutes of actually fully being in your pain, whatever that pain is, sadness, grief, frustration, powerlessness, to alchemize it. Your body just goes, really, because what's pain? Pain is just a red flag for like, hey, please pay attention to this. And the moment you pay attention, the red flag doesn't need to be there anymore. Because you've paid attention. And so then you feel whatever feeling, you go into the depths of it, you swim in it, you my partner likes to go, you make love to it, you let it mount you. Like, all right. So like there's just whatever, swim in it, bathe in it, do whatever you need to do in it, drown in it, right? And die in it, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're instantly reborn within a minute or two, right? It's just, and you just feel so much better. But the suffering comes from actually continuing to go, I'm going to push it away. I'm going to push it away. I'm actually not going to feel it. I'm not going to feel it. And then guess what happens? You are overworking. You are drinking too much wine. You're watching too much Netflix. You are eating too many of those donuts, whatever, right? Yeah. Because you're like, I just don't want to feel the feeling.
Mm-hmm. The coping mechanisms. Right. And then it's like, is a part of that, it seems like, not trusting our own power to be able to go through that, not trusting ourselves to be able to hold that space. And then once you are able to go in it, I mean, is it a constant process of having to, I mean, it is, face that again and again and again, because we go through it once. It's not like it's never going to come up again. But do you think that once you go through it, like you're able to see you have that power inside, and people are able to more easily like face it? I mean, it's a practice, right? It sounds like it's kind of like building a muscle.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many pieces to this, because I love that you bring up the fact that we have to hold ourselves in this, which goes back to the embodied union conversation we were having before around, you have to be your own structure and you have to be the energy. Like you mm-hmm. are both, and you have to cultivate both in a way that will allow you to dive into these moments that are incredibly painful. And the way that you do that often is, you know, we think, oh, okay, well, I've over-cultivated my masculine. Not true. You've over-cultivated a dysfunctional version of your masculine. But there's a beautiful, sacred, divine version of your masculine that is like structure that supports everything else in your life force. It supports your life force, because your life force is your feminine, right? And so how this translates, and the way that I do it with my clients, is we do a lot of mothering of your inner child. Mm. this is so key. And there's many, I mean, this is a whole podcast episode in and of itself, but essentially, you know, mothering your inner child and creating space for the needs of your inner child is actually you showing up in the masculine, even though you're mothering in quotes, right? It's a nurturing energy, but it's very structural. It's very held. It's a container that allows for, you know, a child is very feminine because they're all like up and down and sideways and just all the feelings and da, 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 and, you know, and then the parent has got to be like, I'm holding you in your experience. Right. And so often we've disconnected from our inner child. Mm-hmm. And when we've disconnected from our inner child, she, he, they do not trust us. They're like, you're the one who's not listening. Right. And so initially what I do is I do a lot of like reconnecting, having people reconnect with their inner child as a way to first start to establish trust. Cause often our inner child does not trust us as parents or as holders, space holders at all. And so we have to establish trust. And then after that trust is established, you get to practice like checking in with your inner child to be like, how are you feeling? What's going on? Something seems to be coming up, and like really holding yourself and having this inner dialogue that may seem a little bit crazy on the outside, but it actually is the most mentally, like it's so healthy to understand that there's these different pieces of you, you know, and this is the archetypal work that I do. We've got, you know, your inner little girl, you've got your central siren, you've got your warrior queen, you've got so many other pieces of you. And often we get really tripped up in thinking, you know, our thoughts or our feelings are us. It is our identity. But that's not true. It's just a part of us. And there's usually an internal dialogue where there's a lot of battling and fighting that's happening that also causes suffering. And so the more you can start to discern, oh, look, actually my inner child just needs a mother or parent right now, the more that you can then establish that confidence in yourself to go through these brutal moments of grief or sadness and hold yourself in this practice of feeling the most in-depth, whatever it is that you're not wanting to feel. And so that it's, so you have to, it doesn't, I would never like tell a client who's coming to me like, okay, now you're just going to go right into the depths of your grief. Like that would not be session one. You know, there would be so many things that we would start to establish, which is why I work with people. I don't do single sessions. I don't do, you know what I mean? I work with people over usually a year because it is such a deep process of like, you know, step by step, how can I be both the structure and the life force that supports the structure.
That's such a huge tool. And most people don't have this. You know, we're going through the world just attached to our minds and that voice that's running, running, running. And it sounds like this is able to help people step out of that and hold space for themselves. Yeah. I'm also curious, you know, maybe just briefly to hear what the different archetypes are that you work with. I find that such a beautiful part of, you know, the embody process and what are those pieces and why is it important to touch in with our different archetypes inside?
Well, archetypal work has been around for like a gajillion years, right? And it's so beautiful because it is universal, right? Archetypes are really just these energies that exist across the board that we can connect to. And so some people will connect to them through certain like goddesses. Some people connect to them through animals. Some people connect, you know, there's so many different modalities out there and philosophies. And for embody, in terms of the movement and the practice that came through for me, we work with three feminine archetypes, and that is the central siren, the inner little girl, and the warrior queen. And the reason these three in particular came through is because I started to realize that when I had been working with clients for quite a while, there was just the same themes coming up over and over again, the same three messages that women were feeling they needed to liberate their bodies from. And those messages were that play is unproductive, that pleasure is dangerous, our erotic is dangerous, our sensuality is dangerous, and that emotionality is weak, right? And if you think about it, those three messages are like the typical messages of the patriarchy, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, also affect not just women or women identifying folks. It affects literally everyone. Mm-hmm. So the toxic masculine that has sort of been touted by the patriarchy has caused us to essentially just sort of like contract and close and get smaller because we've got these messages plastered on us. And for some, one message is really the thing we're working with. For some, it's all three. Like, it really just depends. And so these three archetypes, you know, the inner little girl, obviously, is her medicine is, you know, that play, she's battling that play is unproductive. And she's actually saying, no, play is medicine. It's part of what inspires and stimulates and creates. And then we've got the sensual siren, who's obviously like all about her hedonism and all about like dropping into the pleasures of life. And she's going, no, like pleasure is your birthright. Mm. And then you've got the warrior queen, who is showing us a new paradigm of leadership where emotionality is not weak. Emotionality is your power, intuition, and connection to your belly and your body is your power. Mm-hmm. And so these are the three we work with, even though there's a million archetypes out there that we could be working with, but these happen to be the three that came through as sort of like our internal army for the moment.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I mean, it feels like, so those are the three that are a part of your dance modality, the movement modality, the embodied modality, right? And it sounds like those are also such a part of everything that we go through in life, right? Like whether you're running your own business, when you're in your relationship, it sounds like those three pieces probably come up a lot. I mean, that, and I love, you know, that new paradigm of leadership as well, like someone that's embodying all of these pieces. That's so different from the patriarchal society that we've all grown up in and been in, you know, many, many years of history. And it's so important that that's all coming to light and people are learning these different, yeah, ways of being. Just recognizing those parts of ourselves.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it all these messages came through my coaching practice and sort of then helped create a framework for the movement practice, the embodiment practice, which is, you know, a 1-hour class at the moment, but we're branching out into a whole bunch of different versions of class, like the teen class, as I was mentioning earlier, right? So we've got this 1-hour movement practice, which also then goes back. Now these archetypes definitely affect the way that I coach, because everything that we are doing there is that as well, in addition to a whole bunch more. But if you think about it, I mean, so many of us are, even in this entrepreneurial world, and even as coaches, for a lot of people who are listening who are coaches, or just in self-development as a whole, like, we are still very often finding ourselves operating in fear-based motivation instead of love-based motivation, where there's still a, oh, well, if I don't, you know, make six figures by da-da-da, then what does that mean about me? Or like, I need to please this person, or I need to compete with this person, or whatever it is, right? But there's always like a fear-based, like, why am I getting up in the morning and actually doing the things I'm doing for my business today? Is it because I'm inspired and it's like, it's a loving service to the world? Or is it because there's actually something sneaky and shadowy in my psyche that is propelling me forward? And I think they're two completely different modes of operating in the world. And so much of my work, although it's not sexy to talk about like fear-based motivation, love-based motivation, as like, hey, that's a key piece of what I do in my coaching practice, is like, how do we shift? And in my own life continuously, because guess what? It's not like the work ever ends. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been aware of this concept for, I think I've been coaching this concept specifically at least 5-6 years. I still find myself having moments of fear-based motivation for sure, mm-hmm. because we are living in a world that's constantly trying to pull you back into that old paradigm, into the other way of doing things. And you have to every single day fight for your sovereignty and fight for space for your heart and your body within leadership and within business and within your day-to-day. Because it's not just, but you don't ever have to fight for your mind. Notice that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh,
your mind is always welcome somehow. Yeah. Right. But yeah. You got to fight to have your body and your heart there as like, actually, no, this is part of my team. This is part of the formula. This is part of what I need and part of who I am, to actually show up in the most soulful version of my service for the world. That's what it is.
Love it. Oh my God. Amen. I'm just over here like, yes, yes, yes. All of this. It's so relevant. And yeah, for those other creators and entrepreneurs out there, it's so, like you said, it's so important to bring all those parts of yourself into your leadership and your creation, and to be aware, like you said, that awareness piece of when you're coming from fear versus when you're coming from love, and not to shame yourself for it and recognize it's normal. Like, the mind likes to take control. We live in a society that pulls us that way. But it just sounds like your process and your journey with your business has been really about letting things unfold and expand in the natural way. So I'd love to just hear a little bit about that for like those who are coaches and entrepreneurs and are curious how their business can evolve from an embodied place. Mm. What advice would you have for like helping someone shift into that love-based motivation or creating a business from an embodied place rather than just a mind-based place?
No one's going to like this because I don't like it either when it's told to me, but it's so much surrender. Mm-hmm. It's so much surrender. And I think when people hear that, they often think, oh God, I have to just collapse into resignation. Nope. Very different, totally different energies. Because like we said earlier, resignation is a hypo response. It's when you are dysregulated. It's still from a place of, I'm just going to play dead in a way, right? As when we're comparing it to the fight or flight and fear, so fight, flight, and freeze mode. But really, surrender is a regulated state. And that's where people get confused. It's a regulated state. So after you've done the breathing, after you've done the crying, after you've done the yelling into the pillow, why me, whatever, right? Yeah. You've done all those things and you're back to being regulated and you can feel yourself in a place of regulation, then there's place for surrender. And often what I do is I have this process called the co-creative visioning plan. Mm. And it is, I hope I remember them. It's four questions that you can ask yourself. Initially, it came out as like a New Year's thing, you know, like when you're strategizing the next year or visioning the next year, but really you can use it any day or the beginning of any project. And it actually is questions based on how your nervous system works. Through answering the questions, and I'll share the questions in a second, but through answering the questions, what happens is you're first resourcing yourself, which means you're regulating your nervous system. And then you're moving into, what do I want? And then you're moving into, what do I have to surrender to? Mm. Right. So you're giving, there's an equal. So first you regulate, then you move into sort of a doing while also like feeling, right? So it's a little bit of a combo of masculine and feminine. And then there's the part of you that leans back and goes, actually, this is a 50-50 process with me and life. And so I don't have to burden it all. I don't have to shoulder it all. I think so often we think, okay, now that I've come up with this idea, let's say now that Embody came through me, if I don't in 5 years have 200 teachers and da-da-da-da and this many people, like it's my fault. Either I didn't work hard enough, whatever limiting, you know, stuff we have, right? Mm-hmm. It's my, da-da. Okay. So I'm going to go back to what the questions are. So let me see if I remember them.
I'm so excited. I'm going to write these down. And
well, because they're always like, they come from a feeling, which is why the words change for me, right? It's a feeling. Yeah. So the first question is really like, what do I trust? Just what do I trust? Make a laundry list. I trust that tomorrow the sun will rise. Like, what are the things that no matter what you know are here and that you can support, like you can lean into, and they are a support system for you, right? So what do I trust? Step one. Once you've listed everything that possibly is there, then you go into, what do I desire? All right, what do I desire? So I desire, I don't know, what do you desire? So then the next question is, what am I showing up for? So this is the piece of the doing. right? So first you regulate, then you tap into what does your heart want? What are you craving? And then you move into, okay, what am I going to show up for? This is the pragmatic, like I'm going to the coffee shop. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm giving myself 2 hours.
Yeah. I love the wording of that question too. It's very different from just what will I do or what do I want mm-hmm. to do? It's like showing up has this really energetic piece to it where it's aligned with your values. It's something that you stand for. It's something that you're behind.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, what am I going to surrender to? Right. So there's the 50% of I'm showing up for my piece. And because you do have to signal energetically that you're showing up. If you're sitting on the couch Netflixing all day, not just for one day because you need a break, but like every day, there's an energetic signal that you're putting out that says resignation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to show up for a piece of it. There is a piece of it that's accountable, but I think what happens sometimes is like when there's too much of a push, push, push paradigm is like, oh, well, you're not showing up enough and you're not showing up enough and you got to do more. And like this launch didn't work because your sales page wasn't good enough or you need to, right. And it's just like, oh my God, torturous. Uh-huh. But then there's like, no, actually 50% of it is miracles. Like, where do you allow for miracles? Where do you allow for life to actually reroute you or readjust you or like just help you out, mm-hmm. like help you out. And so that's the process. Totally. That's the entire thing. But if you get really granular on these four questions, what you're actually doing is from an embodied state, you're taking yourself back to a place of first, because, you know, in somatic experiencing, which is one form of sort of like trauma therapy, what they do is they talk a lot about, and in all, I think, trauma education, they talk a lot about resourcing. Mm-hmm. And resourcing is when, you know, when someone goes up and out of the body because of their, they just got traumatized or re-traumatized from something, there's a trigger in their system and they go into this like fight or flight mode. What often happens is there's this like a bit of a dissociation, right? Because we don't want to feel whatever we're feeling in our bodies. And so when that happens, and sometimes that's just like, it's a mild version, like I'm just going to overthink and mm-hmm. get really overwhelmed and oh my God, my to-do list. Or for some, it's literally completely disassociating, right? So wherever you are in the spectrum of that experience, what they have you do is they have you resource, which is like mm-hmm. feel gravity actually pulling you down. Feel, you know, the support of the chair back behind you. Feel, you know, the table that's you can put your hands on. So all of these different ways. And then you can resource also with like, can you now bring in, you know, for example, the thought of someone you love mm-hmm. and feel their support? Can you imagine a place that brings you joy, like the beach? And so that's a way that you actually can naturally bring yourself out of this state of frazzled and disassociated back into a place of, exhale. I'm here. I'm here now, right? And that's that first question. What do I trust? Because sometimes when we're launching and things are not going well, you've said, I don't trust anything, right? Actually, no, there's a lot of things you do trust. But you got to remember what those are and you got to feel them.
Right. I love the progression of those questions too, because it's like, if we're asked to think about surrender first off, it's kind of overwhelming. We're like, no, I don't want to give up control. But those questions are fabulous. It really helps you at the end. It's just a relief. It's like, oh, I'm showing up. I know what I want. I know what I trust. I have all of this. And then I'm going to let the rest come in. Because how many times, like in our business, have the right clients and opportunities come in just because we are being in our energy, we're putting our things out there, but we let people come to us or in life or in relationships or anything else. It's not always happening because of what we're putting out. In fact, a lot of times the real magic is when we step back and just let the fruits of all of that blossom and come into us. So that's a great reminder.
Yeah, because we're not so great at receiving. Right. We're so good at doing. We've gotten so good at doing. I say this because I have to remind myself of this every single day. Yeah. I'm currently launching. In fact, I'm launching 2 things. And every day, got to go back to the basics. All right. I showed up for my part. Now I have to lean back for the magic mm-hmm. and trust that whoever needs this medicine will appear mm-hmm. and that I don't have to fight my way towards it. You know, which I think we've gotten so like, you got to show up this way. It's a schooling system, but we're not going to get into it.
I know. It's so so true. I feel like almost every topic we touched on could be a podcast episode in itself. I feel like so many times you were saying things, I had this new thing blossom in my head, like, oh, there's so many more tangents we could go on. So thank you, Nadia. I want to give people a chance to find out where to find you online, and I'll post links in the show notes. But yeah, where can people learn about what you're doing with this embodiment work?
Thanks. So my website is just my full name, NadiaMunla.com. So that's sort of the general place to get all the info. I love hanging out on Instagram these days. So it's also just my full name. So definitely catch me there. I post so many different videos. I have like weekly lessons and just a lot of dancing videos and things like that. But what I do want to mention, because I'd love to invite anyone in your community into this, is we have just started the Embody Collective, which is a community that really inspires embodiment and sensual nourishment and sisterhood, of course. And we're offering right now a 1 month free trial. So nice. There's a no commitment. So you can come, you can try it out. You can try an Embody class. We have four different teachers that oscillate, that lead us through about 45 minutes of embodiment and then 45 minutes of connecting and doing some coaching together. So if any of this was really valuable and you just want to dive in a little bit further, but you're not really sure, you know, like that's the best way to do it. And you can either, if you follow me on Instagram, it's the first link in my bio, or it's bit.ly/embodycollective. So it's just bit.ly/embodycollective. And we would love to see you there. Even if you just hop onto one or two classes and join us, like I just love meeting new people. And right now, I think it's so important. The reason we decided to create this is we're not being able to dance in person. And a lot of people still, embodiment right now is like, you and I spent basically this whole episode talking about it. It's like, why is it so, it's so important for us to be in our bodies right now so that we can reclaim our power and our sovereignty and our intuition about what's, you know, how we're supposed to navigate this period of uncertainty. And so we decided to offer these classes over Zoom and to have time to also process and integrate what we, you know, the movement brings up so much emotion that we wanted to add in some time to get coached and just heard and held afterwards. So come join us. I'd love to have you. Yeah.
Amazing. It's a party. So good. I'm going to be there for sure. This is so exciting. I'm going to join. I'm so excited to take a class and be a part of that for sure. Well, I will be posting all those links so people can go directly there. And yes, just thank you so much again for sharing all of your beautiful wisdom and energy. This has been gorgeous. I'm so excited to share it with our people.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you loved today's episode and are leaving feeling inspired and filled with these tools that you can use to come back into your body, to calm your nervous system, to reclaim your feminine sensuality, your power. Whether you are a man or a woman, by the way, if you are a man, there are tools that you can use here to activate your feminine side, because we all possess both the masculine and feminine energies within us. And in any case, embodiment is crucial for coming back to our inner power during these times. So if you're interested, I have a breathwork session available for free for the podcast listeners. And if you want to listen to this breathwork session, it has an attached PDF and an MP3 that you can journey with. You can go to my website at kristinyates.com/breathwork. So kristinyates.com/breathwork. You can download the breathwork journey PDF of the practices and use that to start diving into breath as one of the portals that Nadia mentioned as a catalyst for awakening. And again, you can see all of Nadia's work in the show notes. You can visit her at nadiamunla.com. And most importantly, I want to invite you to connect to your own embodiment practice, to really listen into your vessel, your body, and the way that it wants to move and express and breathe and be in the world, because this is ultimately going to be your gateway to your own freedom, to your self-expression and your true self. So thank you for joining us for this episode on such an important, beautiful topic, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.